Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how are you?
I'm doing okay today, buddy. How are you?
Do you have a cold?
I do.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I know. I've
good, you stayed away from the ring today. I appreciate that because there's nothing worse than sick dude coming to work. That's the worst.
I know. I know. The players hate it too when they see media who is already super annoying come in and then be sick and coughing all over the dressing room. But, you know, I'm pounding back the medication and drinking lots of water and hope to be recovered within a couple of weeks.
Jeez, Maroon and Yakupov will be back on the ice before you're at the rink by that rate.
Yeah, I'm a game-time decision for the home opener.
Now, good news on the order front, because I think a lot of people were thinking worst-case scenario, and I guess it's understandable considering how many injuries the Oilers have had, but Patrick Maroon, some good news there. Looks like you know, maybe a week, something like that, and he's hoping, expecting to play before the end of preseason.
Yeah, that's good news for them. The last thing they needed was for somebody who they were counting on to be a regular in their top nine of forwards to already be out before the season even started. So, yeah, that could have been worse. The way he hobbled off the ice there, I wouldn't have been surprised he'd be here in about 3 weeks or 5 weeks today. So, I don't know. Do you call that a break for the Oilers? I guess they'll take it. It's better than terrible injury news. And, yeah, and in the meantime, they'll get a look at some other guys. But Maroon should have a spot there opening night.
What's interesting about the positions is how Drake Kajula, who was my wild card at the start of camp, they're giving him every opportunity to show what he can do as a third line center. And if he does, then Leon Draisaitl will move to the right wing. He's not going to play the left wing. They're going to play him on the right side and would start with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. They're not going to play Draisaitl and Lucic as bookends for McDavid. I don't see that. So Draisaitl goes there. Now suddenly, Ryan, you've got one right wing spot open for three guys in Puljujarvi, Versteeg, and Yakupov, and that becomes a really interesting battle.
Yeah, absolutely it does. And that's why, you know, that's why when we talked about Versteeg coming in, and I had mentioned that there was a little bit of a traffic jam there, depending on what Todd was going to do with Draisaitl. And now, listen, I still think it's good that they have Versteeg in because he looks like probably the second or third best right winger in camp. But yeah, they do have a little bit of a logjam and it creates a bit of a situation for him. So what do they do with Yakupov? Now Yakupov likes the right side, but he's a left shot. So
yeah, but is he going to beat out Maroon or Pouliot?
No, he's not. No, he's not for sure. So you got Lucic, Maroon, Pouliot on the other side. You got Cassian, who you haven't mentioned on the one side either, over on the right side. Yeah, so it's good. There's competition for spots, but it's funny because there's not necessarily competition for the fourth line right wing spot or even the third line necessarily. Like there's competition for which of those skilled players will play in that second on that second line on the right side. Now if Draisaitl's there and that's the way they decide to go, it's his, but yeah, they've got a little bit of a jam up over there, and that's a good thing. That's not a problem to have, and I think they like what they've seen from Versteeg. But Kajula showing some early returns potentially gives them options that I don't think they knew they had until I think they felt like they might be going without that filled until now. You know, they've seen Kajula play strong for a couple of games, and I'm sure they're hoping it continues because they could really use a dark horse coming out of nowhere and grabbing that third line center spot for when they want to move Draisaitl around.
It's very interesting, you know, when you look at it. And I think if Kajula makes the team, Ryan, I think it all but means Jesse Puljujärvi will start in the minors because I can't see any fashion that they're going to put two rookies on their third line with Maroon. I would be floored by that.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's wait and see what Puljujärvi does because he had a slow start and he didn't have a great first exhibition game. But at the same time, it was his first exhibition game. We know he's got lots of size and speed and ability. He'll be playing with some legit players tonight. Let's see how he looks tonight, because by Monday, we could very well be talking about back-to-back, really, really solid performances from Jesse Puljujärvi and how now it makes things even tougher for them. We could very well be talking about that. I agree with you. It's good that they have the option. They're able to start him down there with no problem. But there's a reason this guy was supposed to go third overall and went fourth overall because people feel like he's close to being NHL ready, and he's a good player. So just because he was quiet doesn't mean things are falling permanently into place four exhibition games in. He's still got a chance, and he will be given lots of opportunity, as evidenced by his line mates tonight.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. Had a really good conversation with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins today. Feeling good about his game. Love being at the World Cup. Love the experience, especially going up against kind of the best of the best. His weight's exactly the same, but he does feel stronger from last year. And you know what? He's determined because he had those two 56-point years, pretty consistent. And last year had 11 points in 13 games. And then really kind of hit the schneid with only three goals in the next 33. That he can, you know, improve on the previous 2 years. When we look at kind of key guys for the Edmonton Oilers up front, most expect McDavid to do his thing, right? It would be a stunner, I think, for a lot of people if McDavid didn't score 70 points, right? I think, that'd probably be the low end. So you look at Nugent Hopkins and the importance of him and that line and how, like, I'm intrigued by a Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent Hopkins combination on your second line.
Yeah, no, I definitely am too. One of the things that's going to make a difference for Nugent Hopkins this year is how he makes out with his faceoffs, because you know the amount of ice time that they're going to be able to give him and the role that he's going to be able to play, zone starts, those sorts of things, it's going to be dependent on whether he could be reliable in the faceoff circle or not. He can't be a 46, 47, 48% guy. He needs to be at that 50% or better, and he needs to develop a little bit of reliability into his game on that front. Now, if he's playing with Draisaitl, and Draisaitl has shown some flashes in the faceoff circle, then obviously they can sub him in and out. But for Ryan to take that next step is that legit number two center who can play against other teams' best players, and you don't have to worry about him at all. That face-off circle is going to be a really important step for him to take. Now, McDavid has looked good in the face-off circle this year. He's looked really good. He was good in the World Cup, had a bunch of games well over 50%, was only 50% the other night against the Canucks, but he looks like he has spent some time working on that. Nugent Hopkins, in order to take that step and head down the path of being that offensive-minded two-way center, to build the reliability into his game, it's going to come with the face-off circle and being dependable there. So to me, that's a really important step for Ryan to take this year.
On the back end, Klefbom and Larson will play together once again. And we'll also see our Reinhart back in. Todd McClellan admitted in his exact quote today was the coaching staff was dumb enough to start him on the right side in his first game and not give him any type of confidence. And they'll obviously play him on the left side, which is, and trust me, we've talked to a lot of players. Turning left to right is a difference for certain guys. There's no doubt. I don't think Reinhart's going to be here this season, but obviously they're expecting better things from him tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Todd stepping in front of that oncoming train the way he did by saying that. It wouldn't surprise me if he even mentioned it to Griffin about, okay, we'll get you in your natural spot and be more comfortable. But right side or left side doesn't matter when you've got 8 seconds to play with and you step out from behind the net and put it into a guy's skates. He was skating up the middle of the ice when he did that. He got beat wide on his when he was playing on the left side as well. Now, the one shift where he got beat twice wide, he was playing on the right, so that's fair game. This is Todd stepping in front of a train for Reinhart, and I totally respect Todd for doing it, and I think it'll definitely benefit Reinhart that he'll get a game on the left side. And yeah, you could make the argument that's where they should have started him to let him get some confidence. So fair enough, wipe the slate clean. Let's see how Griffin does on his more natural left side. But some of those mistakes he made the other night had nothing to do with playing the right side.
No, and that's valid. I definitely don't disagree with that for sure. And
you gotta like the coach doing that though.
Well, I think it's more the confidence word, and Ryan Nugent Hopkins even talked about that in a slump. He's like, once you lose confidence, it's not as easy to get back, and sometimes it can just drain you down. And he says, for me, I have to ensure that doesn't happen this year. You're always going to have a few games, but you can't let it get to you. And I think for Reinhart, because I watched that game, and usually Reinhart can at least pass the puck. We all know that his foot speed's an issue for him, and maybe his intensity at times is questionable, but it's not like the guy throws brick after brick. And that's where you wonder if all of a sudden because he got beat early, and now all of a sudden he's second guessing. He's like, oh my God, you know what? I can't impress the coaches tonight, and boom. And now he was a gong show, because I did see that part of it. And, you know, if you don't give a young kid any ability to be in a situation to have confidence, it's tough. So I agree with McClellan that they didn't help themselves, but also Reinhardt didn't help himself regardless of which side he played.
Yeah, and listen, it was his first exhibition game, correct? He didn't play the other ones? So, I mean, let's give him the same benefit of the doubt that we're giving Milan Lucic, because Milan Lucic hasn't looked fantastic either. When you're a defenseman and you have a tough night, you look a lot worse than a forward who has a tough night. I mean, let's put that caveat on everything that we've said about Reinhardt playing the offside first game. Wasn't a good performance. Now, his situation is different. He's in a desperate situation. Milan Lucic and some of these other guys are not. Reinhardt is trying to bull his way into a spot on this team. And when that's the situation you're faced with, you can't necessarily afford to have too many slip-ups. So I'm sure it's put that first one behind you, get back to your natural side, focus on the next one. Slate is wiped clean. If he has a really, really strong game, that'll be a positive. I don't know that it changes his chances of making the team based on the numbers we're staring at. But, yeah, I think it's fair to say first game offside. So let's give him a little bit of a break in terms of not being ready to cut him just yet.
And Lauren Bressois will be the backup tonight. Cam Talbot's going to start, and I expect Todd McClellan mentioned how now's the time you want to go full games for your goalies. Do you see Bressois, who's been practicing with the AHL groups the last few days, do you see him starting in Edmonton?
Yeah, I could see it.
Really? No. Do you see it? Do you think he will start the season in Edmonton as a backup?
Well, listen, from what we saw the other night, I would say that if there is an improvement, then Bressois, the door is open for Bressois. I think they'll take the best two goaltenders into game one of the regular season. So now Talbot will get the games he needs to work himself out, and the other two will be in a dogfight, and whichever one plays better will be here to start the year. Based on what I've seen so far, it wouldn't surprise me if Bressois was here to start the year. We'll have to wait and see. They're both going to get opportunity. But I think Laurent Bressois is a good goalie. I think he's got some confidence issues at the NHL level to work through, but that's what exhibition games are for. And I could totally see him out playing the other guy for the job and end up taking it.
Jogger Eskimos, Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Bombers won 7 in a row, then lost on the last-second field goal to Calgary this past weekend. Yeah. They haven't been winning with spectacular offense, just a very steady offense. The Eskimos offense has really been either awesome or then for a quarter it does nothing. And they go up against the best ball hawking defense in the CFL by a significant margin. The Eskimos don't have Bell in. They'll go back to John White.
Yeah.
Do you think they give John White more than 12 carries tonight?
Well, I guess it kind of depends on if he gets something done early. Like, I've found with White that if he doesn't get something done early in the game, it's really easy for them to get away from him and then not go back to him. Maybe it was just me, and I don't have the stats sitting in front of me to back this up. It seemed to me that Shakir Bell made an impact earlier on in a game, in the games that he played, which really made it easier for them to keep calling his number. Whereas White, it was kind of this exercise in, gotta keep going to him, can't give up on the ground game, and it wasn't yielding the results that were helping them in their cause. So I think if he can hit something early, it makes it way easier for Jason Moss, who's an aggressive play caller, to be willing to continue going back to him. I think we've seen Mike Riley be a little pick prone lately, and I think maybe he'll be kind of playing it a little safer. And so maybe we'll see more use of the running game for that reason. But I think White's got to hit early, because if he doesn't, I think it's frustrating for Moss, and I think it's hard for them to stay with the running game.
Well, they've done it with Bell. Bell, I think, is a better runner outside the tackles. And yeah. I wonder how much that has to play into blocking schemes and, you know, running certain plays that work well to the strength of the player. White's a clearly better blocker. And I think the Eskimos, their offense is still pass happy. That's what wins them games. That's what obviously they go for.
For sure.
I don't think they're going to shy away from it tonight. But Riley obviously has thrown more interceptions in the last 7 games than he did earlier in the season. He's going to have to be careful with this defense that likes to go after the ball.
Well, definitely. And so he'll take his time. He'll go through his progressions. I would assume he'll be in the mindset of not forcing things. But I think also, wanting to be putting himself into second in shorts. And so the running game is the way to do that. I could see them leaning on it a little bit more to try and protect Riley from those. It's those second and longs where he's trying to push something a little further than you should, and you end up getting picked. So maybe they'll look to lean on the running game to, you know, kind of insulate Riley a little bit from being vulnerable that way. He's just been making decisions out of, I don't know if it's an over-eagerness, if it's a frustration, if it's playing a little bit angry, trying to force things. He's just been making generally what would be considered uncharacteristic. They're becoming a little bit characteristic this season, but overall uncharacteristic of the way he plays the game. He's been forcing some stuff in there, and the run game is one way to kind of settle it down and lean on something else so he's not put in that position.
Stronger, have yourself a good weekend. The Battle of Winnipeg tonight. What happens to Edmonton fans?
Let's say two Oiler victories. Hey, we'll make it a positive Friday.
The Oilers are going to win both games. They're going to play hockey and then play football. I love it. That's outstanding.
Two Edmonton wins.
Stronger, get some Kleenex. You don't have a sore throat by the sounds of it, so that's good.
Throat's good. Sinuses are a bit of a mess, so yeah, that's why I'm thinking a week or two at the most.
Sure. Wash your hands lots, okay? Wash your
have
hands.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
Enjoy your moving.
All right.
Ryan Rashog from, I think he's packing right now. That's the worst, dude.